Good morning and shalom. We want to praise the Lord for his goodness upon our lives. He alone is worthy. He alone is our King. He died for us. He resurrected. And also, that gave us the assurance that we are going to resurrect. And he ascended and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is pleading for us. He is our high priest. And we know that he is soon coming for us. This morning, we want to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we want to look at it from verses 12 all the way to 28 as we conclude. We are looking at how do you live in the light of his coming. How do you live in the light of his coming, in the light of eternity, as we wait for our bridegroom? How does a bride live? The church of Jesus Christ is the bride of Christ. And the church at Thessalonica is part of the bride. And as a case study, let's realize a few things and help us how we can live to wait for our bridegroom, because we know that he's coming. In chapter 5, from verse 1 to 11, we realize that Jesus is soon coming, and he's coming as a king. But he says, once he come, he will come to some as a thief in the night, because they will not know when he comes, just as a thief comes. To others, he will come as the labor pain, just like the way a woman gets the labor pangs and pains. And there is, and if one is not prepared, they will be embarrassed. And so Jesus told his disciples, and Paul is also reminding the Thessalonians believers that you are not in the dark to be caught up in that day as unawares. And so he said, don't sleep like those who sleep, because those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. And so he said, it will be good for us who belong to the day to be sober. That is the word. We have to be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and hope of our salvation as a helmet. In other words, discover that we are to be prepared as a soldier. The way a soldier is prepared, and he talked about faith and love as a breastplate that can be able to cover our vitals, our hearts, our lungs and our chest, and the hope to protect, you know, our, as a helmet, to protect our mind and thinking. That is, we have to think soberly. For, in conclusion, Paul says, because God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died and he rose again, and he is going to come again. So he said we need to encourage each other with those words. Now, having said that, we need to be sober and to look at the day that is coming and to cover ourselves, cover our vitals like a soldier, then we need to realize how we need also to relate with several groups. Number one, how do we relate with those who take care of us, those who admonish us in faith, those who teach us, those who have taught us in faith? So I know this is very, very critical for us to know that we have a duty to relate with our teachers, to relate with our pastors, those who have made us to who have opened our understanding. Paul says, now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you. That's number one. So beside being aware or to live in the light of this, of his coming, here we need to relate with our teachers, those who work hard amongst us. We need to relate with them. And number one is to acknowledge them. Number one is to make sure that we know that they are there, is to honor them. Those who care for you in the Lord, those who admonish you. Paul says, look for them, acknowledge them, hold them in highest regard, in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. So Paul is categorically looking at how then do we relate with our teachers? How do we relate with the people who admonish us, who care for us, who have taught us the word? We need to hold them in high regard. We need to respect them. We need to acknowledge them. We need to admonish them also. And we need to honor them, visit them, speak to them, write to them, respect them. Make sure that they have what they need. It is upon us to make sure that our teachers are supported. God has blessed us in different way. We visit them. We make sure that they are comfortable even in the work that they are doing. Paul says, hold them in highest regard. Then he says, how then do we live amongst the community of believers? He gets now to the second one. How do we relate to the community of believers? He says, live in peace with each other. He starts from there as a community of believers. Then we say, we urge you, brothers and sisters, one, those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with one another or with everyone. Make sure that everybody pays back. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. You see, now he comes in and say, what about the way you relate in the community? Now he first says that there are those that are idle. There are some of them who are not working. Why are they not working? Because the understanding of the coming of Jesus is that the day of the Lord had already begun. There was a miscommunication. And so they thought that they were left. And so they were living in a loose life, not working, and were disrupting. He says, warn them. Then he says, those that are disheartened, that they have been left, they are afraid that they believed in God, in Jesus in vain, encourage them. Those that are weak, help them. Be patient with everyone. Live at peace with everyone. And make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong. But always strive to do what is good for each other, for everyone else. I think Paul says, be one another's keeper. Make sure that the others are at par with you. Do not leave anyone behind. Everybody with their own challenges, accommodate them. As you wait for the second coming of Jesus, don't be mistaken. The day of the Lord has not begun. But have everybody's in mind. After talking about having your teachers in mind, then he said, have each other's in mind. Number three, how do you relate with God? How do you relate with self and with God? You see, he says, rejoice always. You know, this is how you relate with yourself. Rejoice always. How do you relate with God and self? Yourself and your God. Rejoice always. Pray continuously. You see, it is you and God. Rejoicing, praying continuously, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is the way to relate with God. Always in prayer, always rejoicing, always giving thanks. That's about your prayer life. It's about your Q time, your quiet time. And the way you relate with God as you wait upon the second coming of Jesus Christ. Then he continued to say, do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. Now, Paul is saying, do not quench the spirit of God. He knew that the spirit of God is among them. How do you relate with the heavens? Apart from prayer, apart from thanksgiving, apart from praising, apart from, you know, rejoicing, is that do not quench the spirit. Do not anger the Holy Spirit. What about the prophecies that are given? Do not treat them with contempt, but you have to test them. If they are good, you hold them. If they are not, you reject them. And every kind of evil, you reject them. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul concludes kind of by saying that God is committed to keep the whole of us, the body, the spirit, and the soul, or the spirit, the soul, and the body, to be kept blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul reminded them, look, the Lord will keep you. The Lord will preserve the whole of you. He will sanctify you. He will keep you at peace. He's the God of peace. He will sanctify you. He through and through, don't you worry. There's nothing that can remove you. Every part of yourself, the whole of yourself, will be preserved until the Lord comes to you again. So the one who calls you, Paul says, he's faithful. Then finally, he says, how do you relate with us? How was the church to relate with Paul now? And the team, brothers and sisters, pray for us. What a good man. What a humble man is. He would request the persecuted church to pray for him, to let them know that they're supposed to be praying for the missionaries. I think many people, because of the problem they go through, they think that they're only the receiver of the prayer. But Paul says, no, learn to pray and pray for us. Then greet all God's people with the holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. So Paul finishes this letter by saying, the Lord is committed to keep the whole of yourself sanctified, purified until he comes again. But you need to know how to relate with your teachers, to relate amongst yourself, to relate with yourself, to relate with God, and also to relate with Paul and his team. And God is committed to keep his bargain. Father, we thank you. We know that you are coming again. Help us to live in the light of your coming. Help us to be sober. Help us not to sleep. Help us to be awake as we wait for your second coming. In Jesus' name, amen.